Our next speaker is Dr. Jiang.
Thank you. All right. Good afternoon. I'd like to share some recent results with you. My lab is focused on identify some transcription factors that were regulated flower senescence. The first question which you ask, why do flower die? Okay. So, I mean, you know, most people already know, that the, when the plants start flowering, they usually try to attract the pollinator to finish the pollination. That I think once they finish this job, that they have to go, right? And it's really different from the leaf senescence. And when we think about that, and leaf senescence usually, they, for plants to keep a leaf, that's, they have to keep a leaf for as long as they can. And when you talk about flowers, it's totally different stories. So, the one with the function, I think, you know, the flower senescence is well organized and very active process, and it cannot reverse it once it goes through that process. And then that serves the purpose, and they mobilize the nutrient, and, you know, so to the other tissues. And we also know flower senescence under genetic control. Probably most people know. We look at the orchid flowers; they can last for more than a month. For other flowers, and they only live for about 16 hours. For example, the four crocs. And Tegradia, that's also, it's a beautiful flower from Mexico. They only last about, you know, just one day. So the question we try to ask is what genes or protein are involved in the control of flower senescence? My lab just used a model, for plants, a petunia. And the reason I think most people know that there are a lot of genetic resources available, and these plants are commonly used to study flower development, and it's also easy to grow, and it's a part of solanaceous plants. It's and also they are methods to do the transformation, and also in my lab also developed a quick functional analysis tool we call, you know, the virus-induced gene silencing. So the approach we're taking, and from beginning, we try to identify the genes are responsible for the flower senescence. We use the flowers to conduct a transcriptional profile. Basically, we use RNA sequencing approach. And here we collect samples from different stages of flowers. We define as a day zero, which is encysis, and then collect samples day two, day four, and day seven. The reason is we look at flower development and separate into different stages. And from day zero to day two, basically the flowers still expanding, and there's a lot of things going on. And from day two to day four, which is the, we call the initiation of flower senescence. In other words, the onset of the flower senescence. And from day four to day seven, which is the execution of flower senescence. And that process, once it goes through that, from day four to day four to day seven, that's the process you cannot reverse. Okay. And look at the bottom, that's the ethnic production we measured. And you can see that from day two to day four, there's the ethnic production increased. And from day four to day six, there's a huge increase of ethnic productions. So again, you know, once you do the RNA profile, you usually identify thousands and thousands of genes. What this means, okay. So we try to focus on the day two to day four stages. And then the thing we think, I think from day two to day four, there's something initiated this whole process, which is critical. Data suggests here is if you can see a lot of genes from day zero to day two, which are all, unique ones, about more than 3,858 genes. That's called differentiated expressed genes. And then when you look at it, from day two to day four, there's only about 400 genes. And then the last stage is about unique genes, is 91 genes. And when you look at the whole analysis, we use, the software to look at the pathways. And that one of the things we realize is a lot of genes involve hormones, very, very actively, expressed. Okay. So, like I said before, we are interested in the initiation of flower senescence. And specifically, we look at the day two and day four changes. And if you see this here, the auxin-related genes are proficiently, very, very actively, either down or up regulated. The other category is ethnic pathways. You know, if you look at day two to day four, they're also very active. There's some interaction going on here. We believe there's some, hormone crosstalk going on. And then there's another hormone we should mention is the salicylic acid or GA pathways. Okay. Well, I think we are very, very interested in the regulatory genes. Specifically here, we're looking for a mass switch such as transcription factors. And you can see we identify a lot of genes associated with transcription factors. For example, the NAC genes, you can see up of 140-folds in the day sevens. Well, the key question here is, once you identify so many genes, how do you analyze so many genes? That's the challenge for us. So the one approach we use is called use virus-induced gene silencing. And the nice thing about this one is you can, inoculate this. We use tobacco rotavirus, and you can quickly silence the genes. And in particular case, you can see the phenotype in 10 days. In this case, you can clone. We use the marker gene called trichome synthase and use a blue petunia flower. And when you silence trichome synthase, you basically turn the blue flower into white. And so that's the visible marker suggesting the genes was silenced. At the same time, we tandemly cloned transcription factor with trichome synthase. So this, by doing this, we systemically, analyze about more than close to 100 transcription factors. We identify particular genes either delay the flower senescence or accelerated flower senescence. A couple of them I should have mentioned, the bottom ones, the auxin-related ARF2, and that when you silence that genes, it basically accelerated flower senescence. And the other ethnic response factors called TF5, you can delay the flower senescence. Now, one example, I'm going to present one example, and this is the basic helix loop of helix transcription factors. When we look at the whole gene expression pattern from day zero to day seven, you can see the genes upregulated during this process. And then we also look at the expression pattern under the different stress condition or whether induced by a different hormone or not. Right top, you can see the gene is induced by ethnic. Interestingly, there's two steps. From 0 hour to 3 hours, there's a jump. And then from three hour to 6 hour, it doesn't change that much. And later on, from 6 to 12 hours, that's huge increase. And the gene also induced by the drought and also the high temperature. And it's actually mentioned that there was the genes also downregulated by low temperature. To further characterize these genes, we use either overexpress this gene in petunia or use antisense approach to silence, and we make stable transform transgenic plants. On the panel A, you see we increase the expression of this gene. In the middle, that's a wild type on the right, and that's two lines with antisense. When you overexpress these genes, and you see the accelerated senescence, that's a top on the B. Compared with the wild type, when you use antisense approach, you silence downregulated genes, the flower senescence was delayed. And we also look at the marker gene social risk senescence. So we see the wilted phenotypes are related to flower senescence. since the petunia is ethnic sensitive flowers, so we look at the ethnic related genes, either ACO or ACS expression. When you overexpress this basic helix group of helix transcription factors, all the gene related to the ethnic pathways upregulated. And so that's why you see early senescence. When you silence these genes, basically you downregulate, particularly the ACO1 and ACS1. We also mentioned ethnic production that's correlated with the expression. So, and we know that the genes regulate ethnic pathway. Whether the ACS, ACO is a direct target for this transcription factor or not. We did a protein DNA interaction called the EMSA assay. So, we use the protein with the cis element from ACS1. We see the binding and the interaction generate signals. And to further confirm that, we use a cold probe to reduce that signal. And you see that you can see from line 2, 3, 4 that, you know, line 2 is the origin signal. When you use a cold probe from 3, 4, 5, the signal reduced, suggests that specifically this protein binds to that cis element, okay, for the ACS1. But when you look at the ACO1, which is line 8, the signal is really, really weak, suggests this transcription factor only binds ACS1 promoters, regulate that pathways. Very, very interesting. We look at the phenotype in the greenhouse where we saw when you overexpress the genes, you see short plants, compact plants, and then leaves are small, flowers are smaller. And when you silence these genes, the plants grow taller and also leaf and flower, the petals are bigger. We know that the GA pathway most likely will regulate these phenotypes. So we look, examined GA-related genes. So what this means, that when you look at the GA-related, biosynthesis-related gene, GA20 oxidase, it doesn't change that much. It only affects the GA2 oxidase, which suggests that the convert active GA into inactive GA. Okay. So to summarize this, this transcription factor regulates ACS1 in front of flower senescence. On the other side, it also regulates GA2 oxidase, reduced active GA effect on the plant growth. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.